ஓம் அஜ்ஞானதிமிரந்தஸ்ய ஜ்ஞானஞ்சன ஶலாகய சக்ஷுருன்மிலிதம் யேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குரவே நமஹ. ஸ்ரீ சைதன்ய மனோவிஷ்டம் ஸ்தாபிதம் யேன பூதலே ஸ்வயம் ரூப கதா மஹ்யம் ததாதி ஸ்வபதாந்திகம். வந்தேஹம் ஸ்ரீ குரு ஸ்ரீயுத பத கமலம் ஸ்ரீ குருன் வைஷ்ணவாங்ச ஸ்ரீரூபம் சாக்ரஜாதம் சஹகன ரகுநாதன்விதம் தங் சஜீவம் சாத்வைதம் சாவதூதம் பரிஜன சஹிதம் கிருஷ்ணசைதன்ய தேவம் ஸ்ரீராதா கிருஷ்ணபாதாம் சஹகன லலிதா ஸ்ரீவிசாகாந்விதாம் ஹே கிருஷ்ண கருணா சிந்தோ தீனபந்தோ ஜகத்பதே கோபேஷ கோபிகா காந்தா ராதகாந்தா நமோஸ்துதே. தப்த காஞ்சன கௌராங்கி ராதே விருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி வ்ருஷபானுசுதே தேவி பிரணமாமி ஹரி ப்ரியே. வஞ்சகல்பதருப்யஸ்ச கிருபா சிந்துப்ய ஏவ ச. பதிதானாம் பாவனேப்யோ வைஷ்ணவேப்யோ நமோ நம. ஜய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்யா பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதார சிவாசாதி கௌர பக்த விருந்தம். ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா கிருஷ்ண கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. டுடே வி ரீடிங் ஃப்ரம் ஸ்ரீ ஷில பிரபுபாத் லீலாமிருத சாப்டர் 4. இட்ஸ் நாட் ரிட்டன் த இயர் பட் ஜூலை 29, 1972. ஓகே. அட் எடின்பர்க் Prabhupada was greeted by almost a dozen reporters from various newspapers in Scotland. Kishore, Edinburgh is a stuffy, puffed-up, tradition-steeped place, but Prabhupada was very cordial and humble with the reporters. He was giving them so much credit about how nice the country was and how nice Edinburgh was. What nice buildings we have here. And he was saying, "You have two colleges here?" "Yes, yes, we have two." Very proud they were. "So you have many students here?" "Yes, yes." "It is a very affluent city, Edinburgh?" "Yes, oh yes, very rich and opulent." And then Prabhupada said, "So you have many students and you have so many nice big, big buildings. You have so much facility for enjoyment." And they were agreeing, "Yes, yes, we have all this." And Prabhupada just looked at them straight and said, "Then why are your universities producing hippies?" They looked at one another and no one could answer. And Prabhupada began to explain how society cannot bring happiness or contentment simply with buildings. "Stones and windows," he said, "where is the happiness there?" In Glasgow, Prabhupada lectured at Woodside Hall before an audience of almost 1,000. Kishore, Prabhupada was sitting on stage on his Vyasasan. The crowd was very large and even the balcony was overflowing. When Prabhupada arrived, the students greeted him like a pop star. They were cheering and whistling. Prabhupada immediately began lecturing very heavily on the basic science of Bhagavad Gita. How Arjuna became a successful devotee by killing all his friends and relatives. At the end of the lecture, I was a little apprehensive as to whether the people would accept that heavy lecture or not. But they cheered and applauded. When it came to question and answer time, one man came all the way down the aisle from the back of the hall and stood at the foot of the stage and looked up at Prabhupada. For several moments he spoke on and on and on and on, talking very loudly, "I am this, I am that," and then concluding, "I am God." That was the conclusion of his little monologue. The whole crowd was hushed, and I thought, what's going to happen now? Prabhupada simply looked down and let the silence continue for a few moments more. Then Prabhupada spoke, "So, you are God. You have nothing more to say? You are not God. You are dog." And immediately the crowd stood up and applauded and cheered. The man just looked at Prabhupada and a smile came on his face. With just those few words, he had been defeated. And he simply walked all the way back again to the back of the hall and was finished. It was ecstatic because the crowd was participating in the whole thing. They all realized that God is not cheap. Then we had kirtan, and everyone in the audience was dancing. At that time, they had gotten a bit lax at the door, and the local street urchins from this low-class area of Glasgow came into the hall, and they all began dancing and singing. Some of them tried to get up on stage. Prabhupada was also chanting, and so these kids were all trying to get around him and get on stage to chant. The devotees started to push these dirty little children off the stage, but Srila Prabhupada said, "Don't do that. These children are devotees. Let them chant." When Prabhupada finally got up to leave again, he reminded me of some big celebrity. He was smiling and waving and walking off the stage, and the audience were all shouting, "No, no, no." They began chanting, "More, more, more, more." So this is just one typical day in the life of Srila Prabhupada. As we know, he traveled extensively throughout the whole world, preaching Krishna consciousness and giving everyone the chance to become their real self, become devotees of the Lord. So here we see Kishore Prabhu, he is recounting the events that took part in Scotland. We used to have a Scottish teacher, and he used to tell us, Scotland is not an easy place. It's a very rough place. They're not gentle there. They're very aggressive. But we find here Srila Prabhupada, even Kishore Prabhu himself is being puzzled how Srila Prabhupada was dealing with all these people. And when we read about Srila Prabhupada, we can see that he was very expert. He knew exactly what to speak, when to speak, and to who to speak it to. So, multifaceted aspects of Srila Prabhupada, where he would speak harshly to some, and he would speak cordially to others, depending on the situation. He was very expert at that. So here we find that the reporters came, and of course the Scottish people had some national pride. Everyone has some national pride when people come. You know, we like sing the glories of the country, or what's so special about that place. And so Srila Prabhupada, we find here, he is naturally glorifying, you know, Edinburgh and its big buildings. And all the reporters are like, "Yes, yes, we are very proud of what we have." Yeah. But then, at the end of it all, Srila Prabhupada brings down the point that, then why are you producing hippies? Why are you producing hippies? And that was his mission, his mood, to bring everyone to what is important. What is the real goal that we should all strive for? As we know, Srila Prabhupada went to the MIT in America, and the very famous question he asked is, "Where is that department that is teaching the knowledge about the soul?" Because even now we don't have many universities that are teaching this. Only some universities like Oxford, it has a center of Hindu studies, and so they're trying something, they're teaching a little bit about the soul. But most of the places, this aspect of life is not taught. And we see this as Srila Prabhupada's mood, that we need to bring people back to the point of what is really important. What is really important. And the surprising thing is that we don't think about this. We don't think about what is really important. In all other aspects of life, we are thinking about the end. When parents, they enroll their children in the school, they do extensive research about that school. What kind of teachers are there? What kind of people are going there? What kind of friends will my children have? What kind of habits will they develop? And what kind of name and fame does the school have? And if they're satisfied with that, they'll put the child in the school. Otherwise, they'll look for another school. If someone is buying a car, he also asks about these things. What kind of mileage? What is the maintenance cost? What kind of, you know, reputation does the car company have? And based on all these various factors, they purchase a car. If you don't like it, you go for another one. But when it comes to our life, we don't ask what kind of life we're living and what kind of destination we'll get. We don't do any research. And that's what Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing. That we need to ask what is the value of life. So we go to the universities and they teach us how to do research. But what we are supposed to do research on, that no one knows. We go to universities and they tell us how, you know, rockets work and how airplanes work and how so many other things work. But how the human form of life is supposed to work, that is not there. And that's what Srila Prabhupada was teaching everyone. His mood and mission was to establish Lord Krishna as a person and to establish Bhagavad Gita in everyone's life so that we can follow the Gita and we can understand why this human form of life is important. We do research on so many things and we always take decisions based on what is at the end. But the human form of life, we just live, people, there was a very popular hashtag in Twitter. I think it's still popular. It's known as YOLO. YOLO. It stands for You Only Live Once. And so people who were propagating this hashtag, they were saying, you only live once, experience everything to the full. Do whatever you want. Because after this body, there is nothing. Yeah. And this is the kind of thinking that Srila Prabhupada was challenging. Now, it doesn't finish with the body. Because we are not the body. This thing of you only live once and you just do whatever you want and don't let anyone tell you what to do. You're your own boss. And experience life to the full. That kind of thinking is what gets us into trouble. And therefore even in the Bhagavad Gita we find Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna that don't think by you not fighting you will save the bodies of your relatives. Because they're not the body. You may temporarily save them by not fighting, but at the end the body has to be destroyed. It has to be destroyed. So therefore you do your duty, don't run away from it. This kind of thinking that we only live once and we should experience life to the fullest is a very narrow-minded thinking. Because we are thinking it's just this body. But we are not the body. So many more bodies we'll get if we're not taking advantage of the human form of life. So many bodies we have already taken. In the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, King Prachinabarhi, he is having a conversation with Narada Muni. And in that conversation, King Prachinabarhi asked Narada Muni that how is it that what we did in our previous lives gets carried forward? Because the body gets destroyed, so everything related to the body should get destroyed. But how is it that I am suffering for my actions done in the previous life? It's a valid question the king was asking. Because he was engaged in a lot of karmakandic activities, he was doing a lot of sacrifices. And he was killing so many animals while doing these sacrifices. So Narada Muni, he came to King Prachinabarhi to tell him that although you're doing sacrifices, at the same time you're killing so many animals, you'll have to suffer for it. And so therefore Prachinabarhi is asking that once this body is finished, Everything related to the body should be finished. So how is it being carried forward? Many times people say that, oh, it's only this one life. But when we ask them very simple question, if two children are born in the same hospital at the same time on the same day, how come both of them have different lives? If there was nothing like karma, or if there was nothing like previous lives or future lives, then they should be exactly the same, because the circumstances are exactly the same. So Narad Muni, he explained to King Prachinabarhi that it is not the gross body that carries out the actions. The gross body is simply an instrument. Whereas the universities, the big universities, they are teaching us that it is the gross body that is doing work. Therefore, we find that the modern education is not adequate in helping people become free from miseries. Therefore, Narad Muni was telling King Prachinabarhi, you should know what is the cause. If you don't know what is the cause, then how can you get a solution? It's like, I'm sure there are some people here who work in the IT sector. And usually most IT companies, they have something called a call center or a customer help center, right? And people usually call the help center and they ask for some help with their appliances. And so all the representatives, they have a set number of questions that they ask before. So someone can call and say, oh, my laptop is not working. So then the first question is, okay, is the battery connected? Yes, the battery is connected. Okay, is the adapter connected? Yes, the adapter is connected. Is the adapter inside a socket? Because, you know, many people, you'll be surprised. People don't know that in order to work the laptop, you have to connect the adapter in the socket. So the point they try to find out is, what is the cause of that appliance not working? Then they give a solution. But the modern universities, they don't even know the cause. So how can they give a solution? And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's mode and mission was, people should know the cause. Why is it that we have been given this human form of life? And why are we in a set particular set of circumstances? And what is the solution so that we get rid of all these miseries and we get rid of all these inebrieties of the material world? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada always emphasized, get to the root. And as Prachinabarhi was told by Narad Muni, that this body is not the cause. As much as we'd like to think it's the cause, it's not the cause. The cause is the desire of the living entity and the subtle body associated with that living entity. And therefore, we find that whatever we've done in a particular body, that body gets destroyed, the gross body gets destroyed. But there is another body with it, the subtle body. And the subtle body doesn't get destroyed. Therefore, whatever we did in a previous body gets carried forward into the next body. Because although the gross body has changed, the subtle body is still there. So Srila Prabhupada, by asking these reporters, how come you're producing hippies, he is saying that the fact that we don't know what is the cause of our suffering. And more so, some people don't even know that they are suffering. Like Srila Prabhupada used to give that very famous example. You go to the hospital and you ask the person who's lying on the bed with drips coming out of his body, and you know, he can hardly move and he can hardly talk. And people go and ask him, "So how are you today, sir?" And he says, "I am perfectly fine." Shishi Radha Rasbihari ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gonitai ki jai. And so the person, the patient says, "I am perfectly fine." You know, he's probably high from all the drugs that they are injecting in his body. So people don't even know that they're suffering. They think it's just normal. It's normal. Therefore, we have to know what is the cause. When Sanatan Goswami, he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked two questions. He said, "Kiyami, who am I? And why am I suffering these threefold miseries? Why am I suffering these threefold miseries?" Therefore, the basic science of Bhagavad Gita is that we have to identify that we are not this gross body, we are the spirit souls. When we get the cause of the problem right, then we can apply a proper solution to get the desired result. But if we get the cause wrong, just like the modern universities, they say, "Oh, you're suffering? It's because you don't have money. So how to get rid of the suffering? Get money. How to get money? Come, enjoy, enroll into our one of our courses. Do the course, get the certificate, you'll get a job. With the job, you'll get money, and your problem is solved." But we find that this is not the case. There are so many people who have got education, and then they're told, "Oh, you just have a bachelor's? No, that's not enough. You need to have a master's as well." And so they go and get a master's. And then they're told, "No, you know, actually, if you have a PhD, it will make your chances of getting a job higher." By the time they finish PhD, they have permanent head damage. PhD. They've studied so much that, you know, doesn't help them much. We find so many PhDs, they don't have means of livelihood. Because the cause is wrong. They have identified the wrong cause. And they're trying to apply a solution to a problem which is a different problem. Which is a different problem. Just like that person who's asking for help from the IT technician. And the technician says, "Okay, have you plugged in the adapter?" "Yes, I've plugged in the adapter." "Is the switch of the socket on?" "Yes, it is on." But if he didn't pay the electricity bill, and the electricity was cut off, doesn't matter what he does. There's nothing wrong with the machine. But unless he identifies that cause, "I didn't pay the electricity and therefore the machine is not working," he will try to do so many other things and still not get the desired result. So therefore we find that the material civilization, as Srila Prabhupada is challenging it time and time again. He always used to challenge the universities and say, "How come the universities are producing so many unhappy people?" Because the people in the university, they've gotten the problem, the cause of the problem, they've misidentified it. And they're trying to apply a solution that doesn't work. Therefore Srila Prabhupada emphasized, we are not this body, we are the soul. And he gave us a means or a solution that addresses that level. As Narad Muni was explaining to King Prachina Barhi, it is not the gross body that is doing the work, it is the subtle body behind it. As the mind thinks, it directs the senses, and the senses work. The senses don't work on their own. It is not like the eye will work on its own. No, the mind directs the eye. And according to the mind's dictates, the senses work. And therefore, the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us is the process of Krishna consciousness. it refers to the consciousness. Consciousness means it's the subtle body, which is made up of mind, intelligence and false ego. Because that is actually the cause. It is not the gross body that keeps us in the material world. The gross body gets destroyed. So if the body is destroyed, then means we have to get out. But we find we don't get out of the material world. We continue into another gross body. Therefore, it is not the gross body that keeps us here, but the subtle body. This the universities don't know about. And therefore, the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us, the process of Krishna consciousness, it addresses the subtle body. We purify the mind and the consciousness. Cheto darpanam marjanam bhavamaha davagini nirvapanam. Through chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are purifying our consciousness. Not the gross body. Not the gross body, but our subtle body. We're cleaning the mirror of the heart, meaning the subtle body. So when we get the cause right, then we can apply the proper solution. And when we apply the proper solution, then we get the proper result. Then we get the proper result. Therefore, here we find that the science of Bhagavad Gita is addressing what is the cause and what is the solution. Therefore, Krishna consciousness. We find in the whole Bhagavad Gita, there's so many verses. Lord Krishna saying, how we should engage our mind in His service. Maiva mana adatsva mai buddhim niveshaya nivashishasi maiva ata urdvam na sanshaya. O Arjuna, just fix your mind upon me, engage your intelligence in serving me, and in this way you will come to me. Or man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yajimam namaskuru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me. In this way, we engage our subtle body in Krishna consciousness. And when we purify the subtle body, then it means we don't continue in this material world any longer. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was always emphasizing on that. Become Krishna conscious. Means we have to fill our subtle body constantly with the mind, with the thoughts of Krishna. With the thoughts of Krishna. Therefore, here we find that Kishore Prabhu, he is recounting that Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was pushing forward this movement by giving everyone the science of Bhagavad Gita, which means getting the right solution, because we identify the right cause. And the other part of his mood and mission, apart from establishing Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and giving Bhagavad Gita to everyone, was to challenge the false imposters. Material civilization, one aspect it teaches is that we are this body, and the other aspect it teaches is that you are God. Just like this person, he came up and he started saying so many things to Srila Prabhupada. I am this, I am that. And then finally he said, I am God. Srila Prabhupada writes that the last snare of Maya is to make you think that you are God. That is the person in the greatest illusion. Everyone in the material world is illusioned to some extent. But those who are greatly illusioned, they think that they are God. They think that they are God. And that's what material civilization and their education teaches everyone. Become independent. Vyasadeva, he describes the absolute truth. And he says, Janmad yase yatan vayad itaratas charteshva abhigya swarat. Swarat means independent. The Lord has no cause beyond Himself. And He is completely independent. He is not dependent on anything. And the material civilization, they're also teaching, become independent. Don't depend on anyone. Be your own master of your own fortune. But if we see with a little bit intelligence, that even the so-called independent people, they're also dependent on simple things like air, water and light. With all the modern education, with all the technical advancement and with all the scientific advancement, we can't manufacture rain. We can't manufacture rain. Right now there's a big war going on in between Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu over water. There's not enough water and people are fighting over that. And here are two states of India where there's so much knowledge, so many bright young people there, so many great engineers and scientists of India from those two states, still can't find a solution. They can't come up with a way of making more water. Because we're not independent. We're dependent on the Lord. And the Lord tells us in Bhagavad Gita how rains come about. How do they come about? They come about through the performance of yajna. Anad bhavati parjanya, parjanya karma sambhava. When we do yajna, that's when rain will come. And from rain, then grains will grow. I think you may have read it before. There was a time when the government of Andhra Pradesh wrote to Srila Prabhupada to ask for help. Because there was drought and people were starving, there was no rain. And so they wrote to Srila Prabhupada that you please, you know, give us some monetary or financial aid so that we can feed our people. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, that's not necessary. He sent devotees there and they did 24-hour kirtan and there was rainfall. Because we're using the science of the Bhagavad Gita. So despite all this technological and scientific advancement, people still don't understand that they're not independent. They're teaching everyone, become independent. Get a degree, get a job, stand on your own two feet, become independent. But we find that that's very hard. Whereas Srila Prabhupada was teaching us that if we become dependent, then we are actually well off. If we become dependent. And two words he used to use very much. Sanatha and Anatha. Anatha means without a master or like an orphan. An orphan has no parents to be dependent on. Or like the street dog. Srila Prabhupada also used to give that example. The street dog. The street dog, you know, is always kicked from one place into another. Everyone is kicking the street dog. But a dog who has a master, you'll find, I'm sure you've seen in Mumbai as well, the dog will be given a nice seat at the back of the car and will stick out its head from the window and the person is driving the dog. In Japan they're so crazy, they have hotels just for dogs. 5-star hotels for dogs. And the owners pay so much money. They pay so much money. So compare that dog that stays in a 5-star hotel with the street dog. There's a lot of difference. So Srila Prabhupada was teaching, we're not independent. We're not God. Those people who think that they're God, they're like these street dogs. Therefore Srila Prabhupada is saying, you're not God, you're dog. If you think you're God, you're dog. But if we become dependent on Krishna and all the facilities that Lord Krishna has given us, then we are well off. then we are well off. So that was the part that he used to challenge. He used to challenge this kind of thinking. Everyone is thinking, I am God, I am the controller. But we have to understand, no, Krishna is God and Krishna is the controller and Krishna is the enjoyer. Srila Prabhupada writes in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, conditional life means two things. Does anyone know what these two things are? That the symptom of conditional life is two things. Okay, one, Prabhu is saying here, intoxication and sex. Yes? Hankering and lamenting, which are symptoms of? Anyone knows? Conditional life? Conditional life is based on thinking, one, I am the Lord of all that I survey. And number two, I am the enjoyer. So this person, he is coming and he is saying to Srila Prabhupada, I am God. He is thinking, yes, everything here is for my enjoyment. And I am the Lord. And that's what modern education teaches everyone. You become the enjoyer, you become the Lord. But Srila Prabhupada was teaching something else. He was teaching that no, Krishna is the Lord and Krishna is the enjoyer. Before even Lord Krishna, he told Arjuna, if you want peace from the pangs of material miseries, then Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantimrichati. One who knows me as the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, and the supreme friend and well-wisher of all living entities will attain peace from the pangs of this material world. And if we break that down, it's these two things. The supreme lord, I am not lord, Krishna is lord. The supreme enjoyer, Bhoktaram, I am not the enjoyer, Krishna is the enjoyer. So when we understand that fully, then we are liberated. It's not conditional life, it's liberated life. But the material world, they teach the opposite. They teach, no, you are the Lord, you are the enjoyer. And so one gets more and more conditioned. More and more conditioned. Recently, a very prominent religious movement here in India as well and throughout the rest of the world, they had their god die. Very famous, he lived 96 years or more. Very, very famous person. And his followers used to think, they used to call him Living God. Already that name was full of inaccuracies, we know. Right? If he's, how can you say Living God? That would imply that there is a God that is dead. Right? And God, the Lord never dies. So already that name is wrong. And then they used to call him Living God, but the Living God also died. So, yeah. And you ask their followers, oh, what happened to your God? Oh no, he is just changing his form now. Yeah. He'll come back. After a few years, he'll come back. Well, we say people, even in religious movements, these are so-called pseudo-religious movements, wherein even if someone gets some aspect of spiritual life, it's misguided. They become misguided into this pseudo-religious sentiment. Many people, they'll say, I was on the plane coming here yesterday, and some people from Kerala, there was a whole bunch of them, like maybe 25 or 30 of them. They were working in a coal refinery in Joburg, Johannesburg, South Africa. And so they were making their way back to India. So one of them came and he was like telling me, you know, oh, we are very dharmic people and, you know, we like to follow the Vedas and people, how they are so misguided. You know, India has the answer to all problems because we have the Vedas and we are teaching Dharma to everyone. And I was like, okay, very nice. When it came time to for the meals to be served, these people were eating all sorts of unspeakable things. So I was like, okay, you call yourself dharmic, but you're doing everything adharmic. They were eating all the meat and they were eating all the fish and chicken on the plane, and they were drinking all sorts of alcoholic beverages. And yet just a few minutes ago, this person was like, "Oh, I'm very dharmic. I'm following on the Vedas." This is how people get misguided into thinking that they are God, into thinking that they are doing some spiritual, pseudo-religious kind of thing. But Srila Prabhupada was challenging all of that, and therefore he told this person, "You're not God, you're dog." And he's teaching us how to become dogs of Lord Krishna. Then we become Sanatha. We become Lord Krishna's responsibility. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is in one song in bhajan, he sang, that, "My Lord, I am your dog. I am your dog." That means you have to take care of me. I'm not going to take care of myself. He says that in his bhajan, Sharanagati bhajan, one of the six bhajans that he wrote on Sharanagati. And he says, "My Lord, it is your responsibility to take care of me. I'm not going to do that on my own, because I can't. I'm not independent." And that's what Srila Prabhupada was teaching all of us, that we are not gods, no matter how hard we try. Even in the US, you may have read earlier, some devotees had come to Srila Prabhupada and said, "Oh, this person is claiming himself to be a god," and then the next day they found out he went to a dentist for an appointment. And so immediately Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, God had a toothache? How is it that God had a toothache? Or how is it that God dies? Or how is it that God gets sick? And those people who say Daridra Narayan, how is it that God is poor? Then what is the point of becoming God if you're going to be poor?" So many of these false philosophies and false ways of thinking Srila Prabhupada challenged. Manav Seva, Madhav Seva, all these kind of things that, you know, so many people go and propagate out there. Srila Prabhupada, he challenged all of that. He said, "No, none of this is true. Lord Krishna, he is the absolute truth. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. And therefore, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, our duty is also to tell everyone the same message, that Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, not the beggar on the street, so-called Daridra Narayan, poor Narayan. How can he be poor? Narayan, the consort of Lord Narayan is Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. So how can you say someone is Daridra Narayan?" But people, they don't know this. Therefore they get swayed. And we always have to consider ourselves so fortunate that we actually got the right solution. And we're not being misled like so many countless other people. And then finally Kishore Prabhu here, he's mentioning how they were doing some kirtan and all these street urchins joined them on the stage. This is very common in Nairobi, where I'm from. We go on Harinam, and mostly our Harinam party is two devotees and 10-20 street children. And the children, they come and they dance and they chant. And they're very happy. And when we go for Food for Life, we usually give Food for Life to such kind of children, the destitute children. And they all, one good thing about Nairobi is, if you tell them Hare Krishna, they'll say Hare Krishna back. Whereas in India, it's not the case. I tried it at the airport. Hare Krishna. They'll not say Hare Krishna back. They'll not say it. But there, people are a little bit more simple. So you tell them Hare Krishna, they don't know what it means. They'll just say Hare Krishna back, because they know you're greeting them. In fact, they think Hare Krishna is a greeting. So anyone goes with dhoti tilak, to town, everyone will say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So we find that Srila Prabhupada, by giving us this Harinam Sankirtan, giving us the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, and by his own personal example, he was saving so many countless people from ruining the opportunity of human form of life. He gave each one of us a chance to make it back home, back to Godhead. Or at least get on the path of making it get going back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, we are extremely fortunate that even though physically we may not have come into contact with Srila Prabhupada, somehow or other we did come into contact with his teachings and with his followers who are presenting those teachings properly. And thereby, we are saving ourselves. So the Harinam, you know, and street people joining Harinam is very common, I'm sure, everywhere. But especially more so in Africa. Whenever we go on Harinam, so many street children people come. And they join. And we give them prasad. And by that, at least, you know, they have said the name of Krishna. And they have eaten Krishna prasad. We have one devotee there. He was a street child, and just by eating Krishna prasad, now he's a big shot lawyer. Can't imagine how that happened. But it is because of Krishna prasad. He has 7 degrees, and he practices law, and he's a lawyer in the high court. And whenever he comes to the temple, he tells everyone this. That I used to be a street child, and food for life saved me. Krishna prasad saved me. So Srila Prabhupada is actually, even today, he is saving so many people through prasadam distribution, through harinam distribution, through book distribution. Still challenging the material civilization that is teaching us become God, become the enjoyer, which is wrong. So I'll end there. If there are any questions or comments, someone wants to add something, most welcome. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Guru Premanande. Oh, okay. Maybe we have someone who wants to say something.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Puju, for your wonderful explanation. My question is, in the course of your class, you are mentioning that body, this subtle body, mind, intelligence and ego, the consciousness is represented by mind, intelligence and ego. So, we have been told that the symptom of soul is consciousness. So then how can we compare the consciousness with the subtle body? Because subtle body is totally material and consciousness is something spiritual. That is we have been, that is what I understood. I just want to know the difference.
Okay. Good question. That in the Bhagavad Gita it's mentioned consciousness is the symptom of the soul. And I mentioned consciousness is primarily the subtle body. So how can we reconcile the two? The subtle body is always with the soul. It doesn't exist separately. So although it is material, it's always there with the soul. And we read in the Bhagavad Gita further, it's the subtle body that carries the soul into another gross body. The subtle body, with the help of the Paramatma, carries the soul into another gross body. And that's where it's described in the 15th chapter. According to the subtle body's shape, one acquires particular type of eye, particular type of ear, particular type of tongue, particular type of senses. So because the subtle body is always with the soul in the material world, the only point when the subtle body ceases to exist is when we get liberation. Is when we get liberation. Therefore, process of Krishna consciousness is to purify the subtle body so that the real desire of the soul becomes so clear that there is actually virtually no difference between the soul and the subtle body.
Is whether the consciousness is also material or the subtle body is also spiritual? That is the question.
The subtle body is not spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is always with the soul. And the symptom of the soul is consciousness. So, because the soul is with the subtle body and the subtle body is there, then there is consciousness. There is something called artificial intelligence. Yeah. So, if you study artificial intelligence, there is something called a Turing test. Turing test means it's a test designed for artificial intelligence, whether it can pass the test of seeming like a human. In very simple terms, right? So if you look at artificial intelligence, yes, there is thought, yes, there is process, and you can even say it's conscious to some extent. But because it doesn't have the soul, yeah, therefore it's called artificial. Right? So just like we find Atma, Atma can refer to the body, it can refer to the mind, it can refer to the intelligence, and it can also refer to the soul. So the same way, consciousness is a broad term that includes mind, intelligence, ego, and the soul. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So in third canto, Kapila Muni says about this, that consciousness is spiritual, but when it comes in contact with all material elements, so it becomes polluted.
Yes. Yeah. Consciousness.
Consciousness is spiritual.
Yes, he was asking whether the subtle body is spiritual. Yeah. So clearly the subtle body is in the material world only. Yeah. As I said, consciousness is a broad term. It can refer to many things.
Just
so
like
we
water.
Have to take it in context.
Water is clear.
Yes.
But when it mixes with other elements, then it becomes polluted.
Yes.
That way. Consciousness is spiritual. But when it comes with contact, in contact with all material elements, that becomes polluted.
It becomes polluted, and therefore we take to the process of Krishna consciousness to repurify it. Yeah. Yes.
Hare Krishna. We hear in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says the ladder like greater than the gross senses is the mind, greater than the mind is the intelligence. Greater than the intelligence is ego. And but like in your talk also, and we hear also in our preaching, and we also tell and we also hear that mind is the greatest problem. And so if in the ladder, you know, intelligence and ego are above the mind, why so much emphasis is given on the mind to purify the subtle body? Why not we so much tell about purifying ego and intelligence, but the mind is like the central figure, which is like the common theme for purification of the subtle body, if something is above the mind also?
Yes. So the question is, why is the mind given more emphasis on purification more than the intelligence and the ego? It's because the mind is more powerful. In the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna tells us the mind is the most powerful. It can even overrule the intelligence. Amongst all the senses, Lord Krishna is represented by the mind. The power, the seat of power is at the mind, not intelligence. But the process of Krishna consciousness is to strengthen our spiritual intelligence, which can control the mind. Material intelligence cannot control. But if we strengthen our spiritual intelligence, then the mind will come under control. So therefore we have to purify the mind. Again, these terms, the mind, intelligence, they're interrelated. They're interchangeable. They're interchangeable, especially when it comes to material consciousness. Yeah. But our process is, when we engage in devotional service, we are strengthening our spiritual intelligence that in turn will control the mind. Yeah. Okay? Any other questions or comments? Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Tai Gaur Sitanath Premanande Hari Hari Bo.